Republicans look to the South to offset Democratic Senate and House gains in other parts of the country. It's the region where Republicans have made their biggest headway in the 1990s, and the trend continued yesterday. NPR's David Malpas reports.
Neither party experienced a tidal wave in the South. The overall picture is a mixed result. On the presidential level, Dole won 7 southern states, while President Clinton captured 5, about the same party split as in 1992. In congressional races, the Democrats are still bleeding, but there's no gushing hemorrhage as in 1994. The biggest prizes for the GOP are 2 Senate seats previously held by Democrats in Alabama and Arkansas.
So Arkansas is a very interesting case.
Charles Bullock is a specialist in southern politics at the University of Georgia.
The president wins overwhelmingly in his home state, and yet for the first time since we began electing senators with a popular vote, Arkansas elects a Republican senator, and it also now has 3 of its 4 members of Congress are Republicans. So the president didn't have any coattails in the South.
Southern Republicans also added to their majority in House races where the Democratic incumbents are retiring in Mississippi, Alabama, and Texas. 3 Texas races are yet to be decided. The full outcome won't be known till a runoff next month. Democrats did soften the blow of losing open House seats by picking off a couple of freshman Republicans in North Carolina, Fred Heineman and David Funderburk. One of the winners, David Price, says North Carolina shows that Southern Democrats are viable when pitted against hard right Republicans.
Moderate Democrats can do quite well in the South, and in fact can make an issue of the extremism and rule or ruin attitude that the Newt Gingrich style of leadership brings to the Republican Party. So I take a good deal of encouragement from this outcome.
Price, who currently teaches government at Duke University, says voters are sick of excess partisanship and bickering and want gradual change. The lesson for both parties, he says, is not to overreach. Ted Arrington, a political scientist at the Charlotte campus of the University of North Carolina, agrees, adding that 1996 represents a pause in political momentum.
What we're seeing in the South is not a realignment so much where the solid South for the Democrats becomes the solid South for the Republicans. What we're seeing is a de-alignment, because I don't think people have shifted their loyalty from the Democrats to the Republicans. They've shifted their loyalty from Democrats to either party that makes a good bid for their vote.
Another political marker in yesterday's voting concerns redistricting. Congressional boundary lines were redrawn in a portion of Florida, half of Texas, and all of Georgia, dispersing black voters. The Supreme Court said past practices of concentrating blacks in a few districts amounted to unconstitutional racial gerrymandering. Many African Americans feared that they could not win in the new white majority districts in the South, but that's not what happened. Again, Charles Bullock of the University of Georgia.
Well, it turns out all 5 of the black incumbents were reelected. The black incumbent who was thought to be most endangered, Cynthia McKinney, she won quite handily. Looks like got about 58% of the vote or so. So it looks like one of the lessons we're getting is that a black candidate can put together a successful biracial coalition.
Congresswoman McKinney, however, says it's not quite that simple. The key, she says, is that she had the advantages of incumbency.
I am here today specifically because the people of the old 11th District lifted me on their shoulders. Without the opportunity to represent them and develop a track record, a candidate like me might never have had the resources and name recognition necessary to win in this district.
Race also was a factor in Harvey Gantt's losing bid to become the first black senator from the South since Reconstruction. Jesse Helms beat Gantt for the 2nd time, even though Gantt ran as a born-again moderate this year. Analysts say the problem is that white voters expect black candidates to be liberal, no matter what they say, and it's difficult for blacks like Gantt to overcome that image. Reporting from Chapel Hill, North Carolina, I'm David Malpas.